Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today is the deadline to get the petitions into Personhood Colorado. Actually, today is the announced deadline. They're being turned into the Secretary of State on Friday, February 12th. So your signatures are needed. I'll get to that in a moment. But the Personhood Colorado group has told us that they are getting extremely close, and they need more signatures. So please, no signatures left behind. That's the phase of the campaign that we are in right now. So contact Personhood Colorado if you can. Let them know how many signatures you have and when you're going to get them in. Their headquarters is in Arvada. Also, Colorado Right to Life downtown Denver is collecting signatures. There was an earthquake this morning in Chicagoland, and we've been talking about earthquakes lately because this is the 7th year anniversary of my debate with a geophysicist on the age of the earth and the consequences of that question for earthquake warnings to governments. So we have that issue. In New Hampshire, a congressional panel has recommended keeping their homosexual marriage law in New Hampshire. And I'd like to talk about the way a lot of conservatives discuss abortion and homosexual marriage when they say things like Mitt Romney illegally instituted homosexual marriage in Massachusetts. It sounds like, well, you can do it legally. How did he do it? And what if you do it legally? But you can't do it legally. Fundamental criminal behavior, which homosexuality is, cannot be decriminalized legitimately. And talking about 7 justices who imposed abortion on America is a bit of a historical revisionist perspective, because actually 19 states were legalizing child killing before Roe v. Wade. And of the 7 justices who gave us Roe v. Wade, how many of them were Republicans? I wonder if you know. And then this from the U.S. Senate. Let's see here. A Senate committee hearing postponed due to weather. The following Senate committee hearing has been postponed due to inclement weather. The Senate Committee on Environment has postponed a hearing entitled Global Warming Impacts. All right, so the Senate Committee on Environment has postponed their Global Warming Impacts meeting because they can't get to the meeting room because the roads in Washington are packed with snow and ice. Once the hearing is rescheduled, information will be posted at senate.gov. That's so funny. It's the Al Gore effect. The Al Gore effect. Whenever there's a significant global warming conference, you could expect blizzard, ice, record lows. And of course, we've had that on the East Coast this past week. In Chicago, they had their largest earthquake in 40 years in April of 2008, so 2 years ago. And I'm pretty interested in this topic because of the debate we had 7 years ago this month. 7 years ago this month, we had a debate with me and a friend of mine who's a science teacher, Don Daly, against a CU mathematician, Gordon Brown. Not from Britain, but from Boulder, Gordon Brown, mathematician from CU, and a geophysicist, John Nichols. And John has been the past president of a geophysical society, and he's a sharp guy. He believes in God, and he believes that God created us, but he also believes that the Earth is billions of years old. And so we had an extraordinary debate, and we sell that debate. It's called the Age of the Earth Debate, and we have it on a CD. You can listen to it. You can see the slides that were used during the debate. And after the debate, John said to me, he's a geophysicist, he said, Bob, do you realize the implications in this debate based on who's right? It affects the kinds of warnings that we give to governments regarding the risk of death from earthquakes. And so, yeah, that makes sense, because if the Earth is billions of years old, then the crust of the Earth, the entire Earth, and the crust especially, has been settling, the effect of gravity, for billions of years. And if the Earth is only 6,000 years old, less than 10,000 years old, and there was a global flood less than 5,000 years ago, then you would expect that there'd be a lot more tectonic energy pent up in the crust of the Earth with a lot more serious earthquakes. So I recently sent a letter to John, and we had made contact, and I asked him if he'd be interested in an update from our debate. And he said, sure, why don't you share your thoughts with me? So after our Age of the Earth debate, and that was 6 years ago, it was 6 years ago, not seven, 6 years ago, February 2004, John Nickel asked if I realized the implication that we'd have to warn governments of a greater risk of earthquakes. So I said, yeah, sure, I do. I think we should. Well, since February 28th, 2004, we've not only had the recent earthquakes that have made the headlines, like in Italy and Haiti, but three of the top 10 most powerful earthquakes in the last 100 years have hit since our debate. Three of the top 10. And there was a magnitude 8.5 in southern Sumatra in 2007. In 2005, there was an 8.6 in northern Sumatra. And in 2004, there was a 9.1 earthquake off the coast of Sumatra. We reported that Yellowstone National Park has had over 1,000 miniature earthquakes in the last month. And now, of course, this earthquake in Chicago this morning, but more interestingly, in 2008, they had their largest earthquake in 40 years. And since 9/11, when the casualty count was about 3,000 dead from terrorism, tragically, 3,000 people killed, governments have spent more than $1 trillion attempting to minimize the risk of further such deaths. Now, contrast that with the quake deaths in the few years since our debate. The number of people killed by earthquakes, it's not 3,000 in 9/11 in 2001, but since our debate in 2004, there have been 612,070 people killed from earthquakes. Dead. 612,000. That's more than 100,000 deaths per year. 100,000 deaths per year. And there is overwhelming evidence that gets ignored by high school curriculum, science curriculums, college professors, old earthers, atheists, that the claims of millions of years are false. Like, for example, fossils that contain proteins. Well, that's pretty cool. And DNA in fossils, and even living bacteria in fossils that are millions, tens of millions, or even hundreds of millions of years old. Supernova remnants supernova remnants. When you study supernova remnants, you find out there are only enough to account for the last 6,000 years or so when stars explode and you see the remnants. Repeated finds of dinosaurs that have soft tissue in them. I mean, this is hysterical, folks. The Heart Mountain Detachment up near Yellowstone, over hundreds of square miles, a mountain that broke up, and what did geologists say? Things happen very gradually. Very gradually. Things happen so slowly, like evolution, you can't even see it. And so a mountain breaks up over a 1,000 square mile area. Over a 1,000 square mile area, this mountain breaks up, the Heart Mountain Detachment, and now the geologists, atheists, evolutionists are saying we think it happened in maybe as quick as 30 minutes, as few as 30 minutes. The Scablands in Washington, they used to say millions of years, and they say now maybe it happened, we think it, well, we know pretty much. There's the evidence. It was the result of a flood, a regional flood, and that's what carved the Scablands. And carbon-14, which has a short half-life, it doesn't last for more than about 50,000 years measurably. And so if something is millions of years old, it should be carbon-14 dead, and they find carbon-14 everywhere they look, in amber and coal and gas and in fossils that have soft tissue, and they find carbon-14 in diamonds. Diamonds, of all places, diamonds, the hardest substance naturally occurring on Earth, diamonds. And, boy, if you can't get a diamond specimen to be pure and not corrupt, they might as well just give up on their radioactive radiometric dating. But you find carbon-14 inside of diamonds and amber. And like I said, everywhere you look, everywhere it's not supposed to be, if something is a million years old, it shouldn't have carbon-14 in it, as a general rule. But it's everywhere because these things are not millions of years old. So when there is an earthquake in the headlines, it's just a reminder that the Earth is young, not old. And it's groaning under the curse of sin and destruction that's come upon our ecosystem because of Adam's sin. Adam and Eve were put in a perfect paradise, a garden of Eden by God, and their sin broke that perfection. And so weeds and thorns and thistles and death came into the animal kingdom, and human beings died. And the garden was no longer tilled. And the four rivers that flowed out of the Garden of Eden that watered the earth, that all came to ruin. And 1,600 years later, there was a global flood. All right. And by the way, why is the near side of the moon beat to a pulp while the far side is just sort of peppered? Why is that? Do they even point that out in the atheistic science curriculums? The difference between the near side and the far side of the moon? Why is it so dramatic? And if you pull up the moon on a computer simulator and you're able to turn it, you can do that on a lot of cell phones these days, you turn the moon and just look at the horizon between the near side and the far side of the moon and how startling the difference is. And why is that? So we'll talk about that on a future Real Science Friday show. So this earthquake in Chicago today, magnitude 3.8, April 2008, 5.2 magnitude, the worst in the state of Illinois since 1968. And according to the media, they could have more earthquakes coming in Chicagoland. Now, prosperity. We learn to build in ways that our homes are less likely to collapse on us and kill us, right? So prosperity has a key role to play, but also the warnings that scientists give governing officials. And it's tragic you know, when you reject God's word, the consequences are, they're hard to process. 1-800-8-NUR, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. I'm going to go to Personhood, Colorado right now online. And boy, I wish they were releasing the number of signatures. Personhoodcolorado.com. But it turns out, from what I hear, they are within a few thousand signatures. Within a few thousand signatures, which means there are 2 days left. And if you have a petition, please bring in that petition to Personhood Colorado. You need to bring it in. And whether it has one signature on it, 5 or 10 or 50 or 100, your signature might be the signature that could put them over the top with the 76,000 signatures they need. Your signature. So if you have not brought in your petition, somebody earlier today, somebody called in here, said, you guys are talking about the Personhood petition, the Personhood signature drive. I'm wondering, I have a petition here, but I'm wondering if it's really needed. Do I really need to drive into Arvada to drop it off? And we're like, of course it's needed. Is it really needed? And think of the people who signed the petition who want to have a place in history ending the killing of unborn children. Think about those people. And think about your obligation to them. First of all, the opportunity you gave them, the honor you gave them by carrying a petition that people around you could have a hand in the ending of this Holocaust in America, the slaughter, the dismemberment of unborn children. Are there people who advocate and praise abortionists and say abortion is a wonderful thing for mankind? Yeah, there sure are. Those people are in rebellion against God. A child in the womb playing with his toes, sucking his thumb in the first trimester, early in the second trimester, and Planned Parenthood will go in with a suction tube, a vacuum cleaner, and rip off that baby's arm, literally. And you think that baby doesn't suffer? And you think that God doesn't grieve? And you think on Judgment Day that baby will not be there with the voices of all those who have been unjustly slaughtered? And you think God will not hold people to account? Of course he will. God loves the innocent. Have you read what Jesus Christ said about children? And God's heart toward children? I mean, look at a child. Just look at a child. And we see when a child is born, we're reminded that God is an optimist. And sometimes men are more interested in science than women. Not always, sometimes, often. And whether it's microbiology or physics or entropy or whatever, and guys are getting all excited and saying, look at the evidence for creation. And look at the evidence that we didn't evolve from slime. It's not goo to the zoo to you, that God made us. Look at all this technical evidence. And a woman comes along and says, what are you guys wasting your time for? Look at this baby. Can't you see that this baby was made in God's image and God's likeness? The perfection of this baby is evidence of God's loving hand who made us. So women are typically ahead of men, and it's true in this issue too. But women, please, cut us some slack. We're a little slower. We need time to get to where you're at. It's like the scientists who are climbing the mountain, and they take forever to climb. They want to summit. They want to get to the peak. And when they finally get up there, they find a bunch of theologians sitting around having a good time. And the theologians were there a long time before the scientists. But they finally got there, some of them. When we fight for the personhood of the unborn child, we are honoring God, we are loving our neighbor, and people who are carrying these petitions are giving their neighbors a chance to put their voice in with the voice of millions who are crying out to end the slaughter of innocent children. And God looks down. And if you think that blacks were sold at the slave trade and that God wasn't looking and it didn't matter for those people who were apathetic toward the suffering of children who grew up in slavery and adults who were robbed of their freedom, you think that God doesn't care about apathy? You haven't read the Bible if you think that. And God does care, and God is passionate. And God gets angry, and it's not just in the Old Testament. You read in the New Testament, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And Jesus Christ, when he was speaking, he said, "Bring them here, my enemies, who would not obey me, and slay them before me." This is in a parable. But the Lord is talking. He gets angry at those who hurt children. And he said, "Whatever you do to the least of these, you have done unto me." So if you turn your head in scorn and don't care, you're apathetic about those who would kill innocent children, Jesus says that's what you would do to him. Because if you don't care what they're doing to a black person, if you don't care what they're doing to the Jews, if you don't care what they're doing to children, you wouldn't care what they did to me, Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord taught. And of course it's true. So, and there were plenty of people who just really didn't care that Jesus Christ was crucified. And why was he crucified? Because he was so nice to everyone? Right? The current depiction of Jesus Christ in our culture, that he's only loving and kind and gentle, that's it, that he never judged, and then he was crucified. Well, that's a non sequitur, right? They don't go together. They don't go together. They don't. All right, last news story comes out of New Hampshire, and I do want to encourage you, though. I'm going to give you a phone number. I'll give you a couple phone numbers. Personhood, Colorado is in Arvada, and they're on 58th between what? Between Kipling and Carr, between Wadsworth and Kipling. And if you have a petition that has one signature on it, in fact, please, if you can, get a few more on your way in. And call them 303-456-2700, 303-456-2700, and 303-456-2800. Those are two numbers there. And you could go, of course, to Personhood Colorado's website. Personhood Colorado, 303-456-2700 and personhoodcolorado.com. And you are needed. You are needed. You are needed. There are no mega ministries behind this. There are no funds that are giving $100,000 grants to make this happen. If Colorado has on the ballot in the fall a personhood amendment, it will be because of thousands of Christians who've been out there talking to their neighbors about the right to life, the God-given right to life of an unborn child. All right, 303-456-2700, 303-456-2700. Now, New Hampshire. There's a congressional panel in the state of New Hampshire, and they're talking about homosexual marriage, and there's an effort to try to repeal the state's, when was that passed? In January? Beginning of this year? Homosexual marriage? And so there's an effort to try to repeal that, and there are congressmen there in New Hampshire that are saying, no, really, this is good. We should have this. So let's try to stop a proposed constitutional amendment that would define marriage as between one man and one woman. And we have beautiful brothers and sisters in the Lord around the country who cannot talk about homosexual marriage being instituted in different states without saying, well, the governor illegally imposed homosexual marriage on the state. or the state Supreme Court illegally imposed homosexual marriage. It was just seven justices, who's seven men in black robes, whatever. And that's the form of their argument, and it's constant, and it often makes up the bulk of their argument. So that the argument becomes, well, the way they did it was illegal. Well, how do you legally change the law? Well, legally, you change the law by electing representatives, and then they introduce bills, and then they're voted on in committee, and then they're passed to the floor of the House and the Senate, and they go to a joint House-Senate panel, and then they pass a law, and then the government signs it. And then the governor signs it. So is that the legal way to institute homosexual marriage? There is no legal way to institute homosexual marriage. It's like, what if somebody said, and people never say this because it would be so wrong. They never say that the victim, that the suspect illegally raped the victim. Do people ever say that? People never say that. Illegally raped the victim. People never say that. Why not? Why don't they say that? Because it implies that you could have done it legally, but it was done illegally. So we cannot say that. We have to always go to the heart of the issue. Abortion is wrong, not because some judges did it. In Germany, if some judges had stopped the Holocaust, they'd be the heroes of the world, and God would have approved. It's not because judges did it. Homosexual marriage is not wrong because the governor instituted it. You could use that to show that Mitt Romney is immoral, evil. He's a liberal. He's a social liberal. He authorized tax-funded elective abortion. You could use that to show that, but we have to remind ourselves continuously that there is no way to legally institute homosexual marriage because it's a fundamental perversion of the civil contract that God has given to mankind, marriage, the institution of marriage. And with abortion, there's no such thing as a non-elective abortion because abortion is always wrong. So we have to watch the way we speak because people are easily confused because they don't know God's word very often. So our phone number, 1-800-8-NER. Please help us with our telethon this month. We've taken in $2,000. And as you could tell, we are talking about the personhood effort and the news, of course, from a Christian perspective, which is what you get in the Bible quite often. You get the news from God's perspective. So that's what we do here at Bob and Yurt Live, but we need your help. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Our website is KGov, KGOV.com. What a beautiful letter from a pastor in Montana. Heard Bob and Yurt Live, started tuning in, he's involved with personhood. Hey, God bless you guys.